Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 21st of March, 2022, and is entitled Professor Dahl and Me, where Dahl is spelt D-A-L-E. To misquote William Gibson, the past is still here with us, just unevenly distributed. I have a story to tell that stars Sergei Rachmaninoff and me. It starts just before 1900 in Moscow. My part ends around 1972 in the mountains of Lebanon, looking down over Beirut and the blue Mediterranean. It doesn't have anything to do with computers, and nothing in it matters to anyone living except me. But maybe you'll enjoy a faintly exotic musical echo from a long time ago, a long way away. In 1900, Russian composer Sergei Rachmaninoff, who lived from 1873 to 1943, pictured here to the right in 1897, he's looking kind of fierce and wearing a cute cap and his very sharp face, was in rough shape, which is surprising, given that in 1892 he'd graduated from the Moscow Conservatory with the highest possible mark and a great gold medal. He had a brief spell in the sun, enjoying a summer of 1893 retreat in Kharkiv, a name much in the news as I write. But then, in that year, his hero Tchaikovsky died, and then his first symphony got a brutal reviews, and a serious case of composer's block silenced his musical output. Rachmaninoff was reduced to giving lessons to pay the rent. Enter Dahl. Meet Nikolai Dahl, here it's spelt D-A-H-L, who lived from 1860 to 1939, a Russian Empire physician who studied psychology in France after graduating from Moscow University. And I have a picture of him here. He looks like a fierce Middle European type with a bulging bald head and a sharp goatee and mustache. A lover of music and a competent violist, he was engaged by Rachmaninoff in January 1900. Between then and April, a daily program of hypnosis and other supportive therapies had good effect, leading to the composition of the famous and much-played Piano Concerto No. 2, which was premiered in October 1901 and dedicated to Dahl. So, why don't we listen to a little bit of that? Isn't that pretty? That's the first time I've played music on this blog, and it's a really old recording, but who knows, maybe the copyright police will come and strike me down off the internet. Anyhow, let's go back to the story. So, Professor Dahl had a son, also named Nikolai, whose life intersected mine, and we'll get to that. But before we leap forward in time, let history record that Rachmaninoff's story had a mostly happy ending, in that he kept on writing and playing music until his last days, seemed reasonably satisfied with life, and was never broke. Some regret that performing, he was a hell of a piano player, was more lucrative than composing, and thus we are left with less of his music, which is almost all pretty great, than we might have wished. Now, let's go forward in time. In 1962, when I was 7, my father graduated from Oregon State University with a PhD in agriculture and accepted a faculty appointment at the American University of Beirut. Everybody says AUB. At some point in my youth, music lessons were thought appropriate, and I was asked which instrument. When I said, something that plays low notes, they decided that my hands were too small for double bass, so I took up cello. When I bothered to practice, I made good progress. Some years later, my parents were looking for a new cello teacher, and someone suggested Professor Dahl, who lived up in the mountains, specifically in Bromana, a prosperous, verdant town overlooking Beirut from the slopes of Mount Lebanon. Its climate is pleasantly moderate in summer. That and the view have made it a long-time escape for residents of hot climates around the Middle East. So I became a student of Professor Dahl, yes, the son of the physician who treated Rachmaninoff. I don't know why or when his surname spelling changed. More on him later, but first, the question of travel. The road to Bromana. I was a 16-year-old kid in Beirut and needed to get a half-hour's drive up the mountainside for my cello lesson. It was pretty easy because of the service option. A service, a French word, rhymes with berlis, is a taxi with fixed route, either circular inside the city or back and forth between two points. You could hail them anywhere on their route. You'd be up one of up to five passengers, and the price was the same, no matter where you got off or on, and it was cheap. At this point, basically all the services were Ponton-style Mercedes sedans with bench seats front and back, thus room for five paying customers. And there's a cute picture of one. And boy, that jogs my memory. They were all over the streets of Lebanon when I grew up. Anyhow, every town in Lebanon had a designated corner in Beirut where its services left from. Romanas was in the Bourj, the old downtown that used to be a warren of fantastically picturesque souks, which is to say bazaars, full of gold and spices and colors and stories. That was until it was shelled flat during the Lebanese Civil War. I forget whether it was by the asshole Falangists or the asshole Islamists. Now it's a totally boring mall. But I digress. And here's a picture of one of those souks in 1966. It's black and white and, well, very atmospheric and Levantine, I should say. Anyhow, I'd take my cello downtown on the city bus, which cost pennies, stroll over to the Bramana corner, and catch the next service. They left all the time. My Arabic wasn't great, but plenty good enough to say the equivalent of, "Come on, man, don't give me that, I know the right price." Nobody's feelings were hurt. I was a blonde foreigner and presumably clueless until I proved I wasn't. The right price was something like the equivalent of $2 for a half-hour ride. Those Mercedes trunks were cavernous. There was always room for the cello. No driver ever seemed to find it weird when I asked him to pop the lid for the instrument. I told the driver where in Bramana to pull over. The professor's place was only a couple of blocks from the highway, and after my lesson, I'd stroll back up the highway and flag a downhill service. At the time, it never struck me that any of this was exotic. The professor's story. With Professor Dahl, I never called him anything else. I spoke French, the natural second, perhaps first, language of a pre-revolutionary Russian aristocrat. He told me that he'd been second cello in the Kiev Opera before the revolution, then he'd had to run for his life. He ended up in Bombay, where there were no orchestra jobs, so he taught himself saxophone and worked in a nightclub playing jazz. Mais je n'aime pas cette sensibilité musicale de ni ses rythme, he said. I'm pretty sure the was that word en français. I'm not going to defend his language. He was 80-ish in 1971, and it might not have occurred to him to deny racism. I gather that after Bombay, he lived in South America for a while. He showed me pictures of he and his wife, young and glamorous, on horseback on the Pampas. He never said how he came to the mountains of Lebanon, but later I found out his father, Rachmaninovsky, had settled in Beirut in 1925 and died there in 1939. He played viola in the AUB Orchestra, an ensemble in which I briefly played cello. There's another connection. Professor Dahl loved to ramble on about music. I remember few of the stories, but I remember his repeated criticism of my fingering, his explanation that in the German style, the fingers of the left hand hit the strings like little hammers, while in the French style, they caress them like lovers. And the French style was really much to be preferred. Couldn't and can't disagree, but to this day, I hit the strings a little hard. Manuscript and Ruth. One time, the professor had a favor to ask. He had a Rachmaninoff manuscript score, I forget of what, and he understood that my father was a professor, and at the university there would be these newfangled Xerox machines. Could I get him a copy? My family was terribly impressed. It never dawned on me to keep one for myself. It turns out that as I write this, there's a living link to Rachmaninoff. Pianist Ruth, and I'm not going to try and pronounce her last name because I've heard it pronounced, and anyhow, her last name is Slencznyska. Who's now 97, as I record this. She studied with him, said to be his last student, and has just released a new album at that age, featuring Rachmaninoff, of course. And here's a lovely, lovely picture of her, once again from Wikimedia Commons, sitting at the piano in 1957, when she was quite an attractive young woman. You can watch a concert she gave last month, and that's a link to a YouTube video. And if you do, your mind is connecting through just one others to the 19th century. Later on. A colleague of my dad's in the Faculty of Agriculture had a daughter who also became a student of Professor Dahl and was happy to drive us up to Bramana once a week, so I didn't have to take the service anymore. Professor Dahl's wife, always and only Madame, was very happy to entertain the agriculture prof and the student, not being taught, on the porch swing, serving tea and gâteau, while we took in the lavish view down over the pine forests to the jewel blue sea. Then Professor Dahl would join us for more tea and company. The cello is still in my living room. It is a Czech manufacture, dating from between the wars, so nearing its 100th year. It sounds fine when I play it, which is rarely. These days I engage in West African and Afro-Cuban percussion once or twice a week. I'm going to close with a couple of pictures my dad took. This is an impromptu quartet that happened one time on the back porch of our family's temporary residence at the Faculty of Agriculture's experimental farm out in the Bekaa Valley, not far from the Syrian border. And it's got super high contrast, not a great picture. It shows a woman playing flute, an elderly man with a goatee. Looks kind of like the picture of Mr. Dalvin, of course, not him playing French horn. Somebody playing, a man playing violin, and me as a 16-year-old teenager with bad long hair playing cello. It's a historical curiosity, really not much of a picture. But Dad was a good photographer, and that day he also got this, which is a sort of abstract detail of my hand in a flash of brilliant sunlight playing cello against the blackness with a bit of the score in view. It's really a lovely picture. Anyhow, thank you for listening, and that's all, folks.